Hey, you guys. It's movie retrospective time. Going back to the 1990s for this one. Had you seen this movie before?
Yeah, I'd seen it before.
Yeah, I had seen this before as well. So this was probably like the second or third time
that
I'd
seen it. Yeah, this is the third time I've seen it.
And it's kind of one of those ones. It's weird because I feel like this is one that doesn't get brought up a lot when you talk about the 90s, but then when you do bring it up, people are like, oh yeah, like that was a really good... I feel like it's a little bit underrated.
Every time I see it, I like it, but then I forget that I see it. I forget that I saw
it. Yeah, isn't that weird?
So, and then I see it and go, oh yeah, I remember this one. This is a good one.
Yeah, this is Tales from the Crypt Presents Demon Knight from 1995.
Really good mixture of practical effects and CG.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously this came out in 95, so, you know, CG was still kind of in its infancy. I feel like they mostly used CG for kind of the light effects, like lightning and,
you know, magical effects.
The magical type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say that there was, like, some weird, like, green screen in the beginning Crypt Keeper bumper, so they could have the Crypt Keeper, like, walking. Yeah. Because normally he wouldn't, because he's just a puppet.
All the demons and the monsters are practical, though. They're real good outfits.
It really does look, and the gore in this is, like, really well done. I mean, considering this is a fairly low-budget movie, I think it cost $13 million, something like that. So, the interesting thing about this, so Tales from the Crypt, I mean, for any youngsters out there, Tales from the Crypt, you know, obviously started out as kind of like EC Comics a long time ago, but then HBO made a series of it that I think started in 89, and it was really successful. It ran for like 7 seasons. So it ran until 1996. And they would basically take, you know, EC Comics kind of stuff, same kind of stuff as Creepshow and things like that, where it was kind of like a morality tale. But the HBO Tales from the Crypt series, what they basically wanted to do with that was just make it fun, really gory, really smutty, and just kind of have all these horror puns and just make it kind of like a good time. Yeah. So I was a big fan of the Tales from the Crypt show, the original one, and I think I've seen pretty much every episode over the time. Oh, and they had like tons of guest stars and stuff too. And I think even people like Tom Hanks and Arnold Schwarzenegger and stuff like directed some episodes. So they were able to get like some big names in it. So it was kind of like a big deal. So the fact that it was so successful meant that eventually they were going to make the leap to movies. Now, this movie was actually not intended to be a Tales from the Crypt movie at first. Matter of fact, the screenplay for this was actually floating around Hollywood since 87. So this even predated the Tales from the Crypt series. So originally it was nothing to do with that. But what ended up happening was that it sort of got, like, passed around to different direct. Like, I think Tom Holland was initially going to do it. He did Child's Play and Fright Night. And then he didn't end up doing it. He ended up working on something else. And then, like, Mary Lambert, who had done Pet Sematary, like, she got hold of it. She was going to do it. But then Pet Sematary 2 tanked, and so she couldn't get the funding. And then it kind of got passed. Like, you know, Charles Band had it, like, that cheapy Full Moon Pictures thing that he has. But then Joel Silver's production company got hold of it. And they were kind of like, okay, well, Universal Pictures have been talking about doing a trilogy of movies inspired by Tales from the Crypt. This was originally supposed to be the second one, I think. They had two other ones that were kind of in, that wasn't a production, but they had them planned. One was called Dead Easy, which was supposed to be like a zombie, you know, New Orleans type thing. And the other one was called Body Count. Now, it's funny because if you watch Demon Knight at the very end, like if you, there's a post-credits sequence where the Crypt Keeper pops up and says, you know, stay tuned for the next movie, which is Dead Easy, but they never did make it. So there was technically a trilogy, Demon Knight being the first one. The second one was Bordello of Blood, which was okay. That was the one with Dennis Miller.
It's all right.
And there actually was a third one called Ritual, which was kind of like a zombie New Orleans type of thing, but that was only released, direct to video, at least in this country. I think like, I think in the Philippines and shit, like it went, showed it in the theaters, but it was, it had like, I think Tim Curry was in it. Jennifer Grey was in it. Craig Sheffer was in it.
Was it any good?
No.
Okay.
All right. I wanted it to be good.
Yeah.
That came out in 2002. So there were technically three. It just wasn't the ones that days. I mean, this one was supposed to be the second one, but because it was the most EC-like, they decided to do this one first. Yeah. And then, you know, so it didn't. But the weird thing about this, like I said, this isn't based on an EC comic story. It's not even really a morality tale type story like a lot of the Tales from the Crypt stuff was. Because, as I said, this wasn't really intended to be a Tales from the Crypt story. They just liked it so much and decided to do it. So the guy that ended up directing this, I knew his name sounded familiar. His name's Ernest Dickerson. Now, prior to this, he had done that movie Juice with Tupac. Yeah. You remember that?
I remember
that. Was
that.
In, yeah, that was 92.
A long time ago, yeah.
And so I guess he got this gig on that. But since then, he hasn't done a shit ton of movies, but he's done, like, a fuck ton of, like, really good TV. He did, like, some Walking Dead. He did The Wire, Dexter, House of Cards, Man in the High Castle. Like, he's directed episodes of all sorts of shit like that. So he directed this movie. And I have to say, I really... This is almost kind of like a Siege type movie. I mean, it goes into that. You know what I mean? Because at first, you know, it starts as like a car chase and everything like that. But pretty soon, everybody's kind of like trapped in one location with all of these demons outside, like trying to get in. Yeah. That's pretty much the whole story. And can I also say, I mean, there's so many great actors in this. The cast of character actors in this is just phenomenal. But I have to say that Billy Zane steals the fucking show.
Man, that dude right there. My ex-wife was going to run off and fuck with that dude. It's all she, whenever that guy was on some kind of movie, you know, her eyes would get all kind of starry-eyed, kind of cloudy. I'm like, what are you looking at? She's like, that dude is so fucking hot. She liked that movie, fucking Orlando. She would watch Orlando just because it was mostly romance scenes with fucking Billy Zane.
I don't remember if I saw Orlando.
I actually liked that movie. That was a weird movie.
If I did see it, I don't remember it.
It's about an immortal that was changing sexes. It started off as a man, then she turned into a woman, and then went back to a man or whatever. But she lived like centuries. She wasn't a human.
Oh, okay.
Or I wouldn't say she. It was it. It was whatever sex it wanted to be.
That sounds kind of good. I don't think I've seen that,
though. Yeah, they never did explain it. It's just, it started off like in the Middle Ages, I think. It's when the story starts.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to put that
on
sleep.
Yeah, you'd like that. That's some Zane action. Him laying up in bed, and fucking with the sheets with the woman, and fucking with his abs and shit with his lips. She was always talking about his lips, and I'm looking. I'm going, is that? I'm thinking, is that collagen? I don't know. I think it is natural. Either that or it's growth hormone. That'll sometimes make a man's lips puff up.
Yeah, they don't look unnaturally puffy to me. He is a good looking man.
I kind of feel like
this was prior.
It's a great role. He's great in this.
Well, this was even prior to him doing Titanic, because I feel like him being in Titanic and being kind of a villain sort of character in that, that sort of propelled him to like superstardom. So this was like actually before that.
He plays Satan in this, man. That's how Satan would
be. Or like a high up demon, I guess, because they just call him the Collector. Yeah. That's what he's known as.
Kind of dude that would like talk your wife into doing porn. Like some shit like that. Yeah.
I think there are so many things to recommend this movie. You know, like I said, it's just a fun time. And everybody in this, particularly Billy Zane, looks like they're having a fucking blast.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, like I said, everybody in this is great, but he really fucking steals
it. Kind of chews up the scenery a bit in a couple scenes.
But in a good way.
He cuts loose.
Like I said, he looks like he's having, like, a fucking fantastic time making this.
Yeah, well, they're making a horror movie, you know?
Yeah, he's just having a good time. Everybody's having a good time. Yeah. And that makes the audience have a good time.
Yeah.
Also, I really like the kind of mythology they have behind this. You know what I mean? Like, it actually has an interesting story behind it. Story being, your main character, who's played by William Sadler, who... I knew it was like he's been in a million things, but he plays like a lot of bad guys, but he's actually kind of a good guy in this. Although you don't really know that at first. He was he played Death in the Bill and Ted movie that had Death in it. So that was him. But he's been in a million other things too. So he's running away from Billy Zane in cars. They're not running, literally, but they're like chasing each other in cars at night, like across the desert. I guess it's New Mexico, right?
I don't know.
I think it's New Mexico. So they're chasing each other across, and then, you know, Billy Zane, like, basically rams into his car and, like, sets it on fire. And then the cops come and, you know, both of them are unharmed, which, you know, that seems a little weird. And then there's also the thing where William Sadler's character, who's actually named Breaker, but when he, you know, at first he's just telling everybody he's Mr. Smith, which, you know, is a fake name. But he has, like, these little star things, like, in his palm. So, you know, there's, some, like, some magical shit going on, like, from pretty much from the beginning. Because he's got these stars in there, and they kind of, like, move around, like, little red dots and stuff. So, he's trying to run away from Billy Zane. You don't know why. He tries to steal a car, but he gets caught by this long-haired kid who looks like the lost member of Hanson. And so, he, like, runs off. But then he runs into a drunk, played by Dick Miller, who is in goddamn every movie ever made. Holy yeah. shit. For yeah. sure, every, like, horror movie. I think most people recognize him from Gremlins, but he yeah. was in... Jesus Christ. He's been in everything, going back to, like, the fucking 60s, man.
He's the old dude that shows up. He's kind of like the voice of reason, like the man on the street.
Yeah.
He's your uncle or your grandpa that shows up in the movie and tries to fucking fix shit.
I love Dick
Miller,
tells
you what
man.
To do.
Every time Dick yeah. Miller's in a movie, it's just yeah. kind of like, he's one of yeah. those dudes that's like, every time you see in a movie, it just makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just that. He's yeah. one of those guys.
Yeah, he's almost a Burgess Meredith, but he's not classing the joint up, really. He's fucking face up. He's good, though. He's good. But
yeah, he always kind of plays... He plays a lot of, like, kind of grizzled old drunks or bums yeah. or something like that.
Yeah, which... Shit, Burgess Meredith did that, too. So
that's
he
true.
Was kind of a Burgess Meredith kind of a guy. Burgess was dead, so you had to get somebody. They get this guy.
Yeah, Dick Miller's dead now, too, I yeah, think, unfortunately. Yeah,
right.
But,
well, shit, he lived a full life. That dude was old.
He did.
He was old dude making money.
That's
making
what I mean.
Moves.
I think when I was talking about the original Little Shop of Horrors, I think he yeah. was in the original Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
You know, so he's had a long and varied career, and, like, pretty much... I mean, tons and tons of, like, B-movies, horror yeah. movies and stuff like that. He's in all that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
He is always playing himself, though. It's that same role at every... And I guess that's who he was.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he seems
what
like.
That's what he was like, yeah. And he kind of was always standing in for the voice of reason. Come on, you kids are crazy. He's one of those
kind
of guys, you know.
But also,
we gotta fight the demons.
He always comes across as, like, a drunk, though. Even
yeah,
if
yeah,
he's,
yeah.
Even if he's not playing a drunk bum
no.
in the movie...
Well, it's your drunk bum uncle shows up. And
who has that, like, street wisdom.
Yeah, and he's trying to get you incompetent ingrates to fucking gather. What the hell are you guys doing? And a lot of, and gives bad advice, too, sometimes. You know, but that's just what it was.
Yeah.
Kind of a comedic relief character, or a comfort character.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a good way to put it.
He plays a character named Uncle Willie in this.
He's Uncle Willie, see? Yeah.
So I don't. He's yeah. not anybody's uncle in particular,
no.
I don't think. He's just Nick Call.
Well,
uncle
he
Willie.
Always played a generic uncle.
Yeah.
It was an uncle figure.
Yeah.
He's
avuncular. I really like that word. But, yeah, so he... So Breaker runs into Dick Miller. Dick Miller is kind of like, oh, well, you know, you can... Because he says he needs a place to stay. He's like, well, you can come stay at this boarding house... you know, where I live, and, you know, you can come there and get away from this dude or whatever. So they go to this boarding house, which he points out used to be a decommissioned church, which will actually be kind of significant later. So he goes into this church, and as I said, it's kind of it's a boarding house slash hotel. So there's kind of a group of people that live there. So you have, like, the woman that owns the place, who's played by CCH Pounder, who, she was in a ton of stuff, too. Like I said, there's character actors, like, out the fucking wazoo in this. You will recognize every single person in this. So she runs it. There's a prostitute who lives there, played by Brenda Backe. Her name is Cordelia, I think. And then there's Charles Fleischer, who probably most famously voice of Roger Rabbit. He plays a postal worker who just got fired, who is also in love with the prostitute. So he lives up in the attic. And then there's Jada Pinkett is in this too. And she's like, she works there, I guess. She's like on a work release program. And so she like cleans the sheets and cooks and whatever and all that kind of stuff. And then you have another guy who doesn't live there, but who is like the boyfriend of the prostitute. And his name is Roach. And he's played by Thomas Hayden Church. So, like I said, there's, like, the fucking cast of this is amazing. So, at first, you're not entirely sure, like, what the fuck is going on with this dude. Like I said, William Sadler comes in, and he says, my name is Mr. Smith. And everybody's like, yeah, sure it is, but whatever. And he's very mysterious. And so then, somebody says, like, oh, he was the guy that tried to steal, you know, the car. And so CCH Pounder's character, she calls the cops. The cops come, and the cops have Billy Zane with them. And so Billy Zane is trying to, like, pretend that he's the good guy. And he's like, oh, this dude, like, stole an artifact from me, and I was just trying to get it back. So at first, you'd think that maybe William Sadler is the bad guy because he tries to, like, he pulls, like, Jada Pinkett, and he's like, oh, I'm going to stab her if you don't, like, let me go, and all this other kind of stuff. And so they're trying to, like, you know, leave it ambiguous as to whether he's a good guy or not. But as it turns out, as we mentioned earlier, Billy Zane is actually a bad guy. Now, for a long time, you don't really know. You know that there's something supernatural going on because, like I said, you've seen the thing, like, on the dude's hand, and it's, like, moving around and stuff. And so you know that there's some kind of something like that. But they actually kind of, like, leave it for a while before it's explained what's going on. But I kind of like that because you sort of get to hang out with these characters and they kind of do, like, a good little intro. It's not a super long movie. I think it's only 93 minutes, something like that. But they do a good job, like, establishing each of these characters, and they're really interesting characters, so you don't mind, like, hanging out with them. So it turns out that Billy Zane is... he's like the devil, or he's like a high up demon, I guess. Like I said, in the thing, he's just called the Collector. So I guess he's just like going collecting souls or whatever. I don't think he's the devil, but he's devil like in the sense that he's trying to tempt people into, like, doing his bidding. So what he can do is he cuts open his hand and, like, all this green blood comes out, and then it sprouts all these demons out of the ground. So after that point, it becomes essentially, like I said, a siege movie where you're just kind of like all these people are trapped in this hotel and they're trying to keep the demons from getting in, or like the demons from, like, possessing them. One of the best scenes in this, like when they first sort of establish that this is absolutely that not only is Billy Zane a bad guy, but he's also, like, supernatural, is when one of the cops, like, tries to arrest him, and Billy Zane just, like, turns around and straight up just punches right through his head.
Yeah, that's good.
And then pulls his head off of his head.
I've wanted to do that before.
Yeah, place. I think we all have.
Imagine it, bam, it doesn't actually work that well.
In real life.
In real life.
Just pro tip.
Yeah, and he punches right through that dude's head.
Just pow, right through a cop's head. And I was just kind of like, I had forgotten that scene, and when they did it, I was just like, I laughed and laughed and laughed. Because that's so fucking great. The gore in this is great.
He's trying to shake him loose from his fist.
Yeah, and he's like, God damn it.
Yeah, trying to get him off. It's pretty good.
That's what happens when you punch through someone's head like that. Yeah. And then it just gets stuck on your head.
There's a certain tone to the violence. It is gory, but it's kind of humorous at the same time. It's not a very mean-spirited gore fest
movie. No, not at all.
It's not like Saw or anything.
Yeah, that's why this movie is real kind of like fun, which, you know, the original Tales from the Crypt series was also fun. Yeah. It's horror comedy.
Yeah.
And it was, like, over the top.
Same kind of tone as Evil Dead, I would probably say.
Yeah, it's just, like, a really fun, it's very splattery. Yes, there's, like, lots of, you know, and the demon effects do kind of recall Evil Dead, like, when some of the people start getting possessed and by demons and whatnot. Like, they have, like, the big jaws, like, with the, you know, and their eyes glow and all this other kind of stuff. So it looks, like, really good.
They got some full-body demon outfits that look really good, especially because they got the damn extended feet that they walk on tiptoes like werewolves. I know that it's basically a pair of high heels without heels on the back of it, but it looks good. They were going upstairs. They actually show them walking upstairs with it. Some of them look like men and some of them look like women in those costumes, but it's just real skinny.
Yeah, I'm assuming they got dancers. That's what they usually do, like, for that type of thing, so they can have somebody that moves around like that.
The costumes and the practical effects are good, real good.
Yeah, for something as low budget as this, I have to say the practical effects look pretty fantastic.
It was a great mix. They didn't do any CG monsters or any bullshit. They just did CG magical effects when people putting up a magical damn protection spell over the doorway type of deal, and then the demons are practical effects and the gore is practical, and just the tone, the way it looked just right. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like we were mentioning before, there is some CGI in the sense that to destroy the demons you have to, like, basically either shoot them or stab them or whatever in the eyes.
Yeah.
And if you do that, like, a bunch of green lightning, like, comes out.
Yeah.
So there's that. That's CGI, obviously. And the artifact that that William Sadler had, I keep calling him by his... Breaker is his character's name. I keep calling him by the actor's name. But the kind of key cross situation, like, artifact that he has... If you, it has blood inside it, and if you dump the blood, like, a little bit on the window frame or the door frame, it makes, like, a protection so the demons can't get in.
The way they handled the CGI effects looked classical. It didn't look like, it looked like classic effects. Like like, it didn't look like CGI. It looked like a real high-end version of the effects you'd see, like, in Big Trouble in Little China. Which was kind of like a classical... Steven Spielberg style effects, but these look a lot more 3D. They just look better, you know. So yeah, it's a CG effect, but it looks like a classical effect, like some from the 70s, but much better, much better. Look good.
Yeah, I thought they did a really nice job, like with the special effects on this. But like I said, that was kind of I like the way this actually, even though it's not your standard like morality story or asshole gets their comeuppance story, like a, like most of the EC Comics Tales from the Crypt ones were. So they did something a little bit different, but this does seem very much like an hour and a half long episode of the show.
Yeah.
But with a little bit extra. You know what I mean? It has, the tone is very similar. You know, it's funny, it's over the top, it's gory, there's titties.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's smutty. It has, like, a lot of raunchy humor. Like I said, like the original show did.
Showcases a lot of nice racks.
Yeah, the one scene in particular where Uncle Willie, Dick Miller's character,
when
he gets tempted
by the devil,
by Billy Zane, it's basically like this big, huge, like outdoor bar with a bunch of topless women.
Yeah, that's like, his version of
trying to get him to drink. Well, because he's like an alcoholic, so they're trying to like get him to like
beer and titties.
It's like beer and titties.
Yeah,
and then it's funny too because then they have Billy Zane because he kind of changes character depending on who he's trying to tempt.
Yeah,
and in this one. And I've seen a couple other reviewers like point this out that he looked kind of like and sounded kind of like Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah,
like,
I think
who he was trying to.
Yeah, with the little pipe and
the glasses and the way he's talking.
Yeah, that must have been his hero, Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
So that's when he came at him. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah. But that's, it's like super funny. But like I said, it depends on, because I really like the one scene, it's actually kind of creepy, when he seduces, or he tries to tempt Cordelia, where he doesn't try to, he does actually. And he's trying to get somebody to let him in, because like I said, they put protection spells over all the doors, so all the demons can't get in. But he's just standing there and, like, psychically talking to her through the window, telling her, you know, I understand you. I know that you didn't have to become a prostitute. You only became a prostitute because you were looking for someone to love you and all this other stuff. And she, like, actually kind of, like, falls for it and ends up getting possessed and not only killing Charles Fleischer's character by eating his heart out, I think, but she also, like, rips off CCH Pounder's arm, which is funny because so she gets her arm ripped off. And it's pretty fucked up for a while because she looks like she might die and shit like that. But they put something on it or a tourniquet or whatever. And then she drinks some vodka. And then she actually goes on to do like some kind of badass shit, like even without an arm. And I was like, wow, hardcore. I just like, I like that scene where she's doesn't have an arm. And then Billy Zane like tries to tempt her and she like holds her stump up like that. And he's like, are you saying yes or are you like taking your arm back? And she's like, no, I'm flicking you off. But like, you can't see it because she doesn't have an arm. It gets like pulled off right there. It's like super funny. But so what the story behind this is, it's weird because it's almost like a biblical story. What it is the artifact, you know, Breaker tells the story that, you know, before God created the earth or the universe or whatever, you know, when the darkness in the void and all that, that was like full of demons. And the demons had seven keys that sort of like were trying to like focusing their power or something like that. So when God came and made light, it scattered all the keys like around and the demons sort of like scattered to wherever. And but they've been trying to collect all the keys so they can like take over again and like make everything darkness again. So this key is the last one. So originally the key had Jesus's blood in it. But as the millennia have gone on, whoever is the guardian of the key Like, they live for however long, and then, you know, when the next guardian comes along, that's it's on their hand, like, it'll be the signal, yeah. Oh, this is where you gotta go, like, to do the next guardian, and then they'll have to die, and then the next guardian will put their blood in it, and their blood will protect again. So it's, like, a really cool mythology that they came up with for the backstory.
You think they would have continued with that? You could make a whole series based on that.
You definitely could. I'm just like, and it's kind of a shame that, I mean, the thing about it, as I said, originally this was going to be, like, the Tales from the Crypt was going to be, like, a trilogy, which, like I said, it kind of was, because they did make three. They made this, they made Bordello of Blood, and then they made Ritual, which, like I said, didn't get a theatrical release. But they didn't really...
Didn't stick with that.
No, and they weren't sequels. It was supposed to be... I mean, the key was supposed to be in all three of them. The key was in Bordello of Blood, although it wasn't a main, like, plot point. I think it was just kind of like an Easter egg type thing. But I don't think it was in Ritual. It's been a while since I've seen that. Yeah. But I kind of feel like, you know what? Since anthology TV, particularly horror anthology TV, has made such a comeback.
Yeah, you could do this.
I kind of feel like, you know, Creepshow made a comeback, like, on Shudder, and it's like all this...
Evil Dead.
Yeah, Evil Dead, like, you know, American Horror Story, which I think is still going, like, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of feel like, you know, all the, you know, Mike Flanagan stuff that they do on Netflix, it's like, you could totally reboot this nowadays, Tales from the Crypt. But as long as you had that same fun... Kind of like what they did with Creepshow, where it was... Yeah. Because Tales from the Crypt, I feel like, even more than Creepshow, even though they're both kind of based on EC Comics, Tales from the Crypt, the HBO series, their big thing was over-the-top gore, over-the-top smut, and puns. So you would really have to capture that same vibe. It was supposed to be, like, really over-the-top and really illicit, because it was one of the few... You know, back when it started in 1989... You know, there was a lot of gory movies and stuff like that, but you didn't really see any horror or gore or stuff like that, like, on TV. So it was kind of groundbreaking in a way that HBO was doing it. So they were completely taking advantage of the fact that, you know, they didn't have sponsors. They could show whatever they wanted. So they went, like, really, really gory and really smutty with it. And a lot of people really, really dug it. And like I said, they got, like, a lot of big actors and a lot of big directors to, like, work on it over the 7 years. And it's kind of a shame that they waited so long to do movie versions, because by the time this came out, it was supposed to come out on Halloween of 1994, but then it got pushed back to January of 1995, which, you know, January for a long time has been, like, the dump month. That's kind of where they just put the stuff, they don't know where else to stick it. And so it came out, it did okay, like, I think it made about twice its budget back, but no more than that. Got kind of mixed reviews, although it's gotten, you know, a cult following now, but I just kind of feel like, see, the HBO show, it only ran till 1996, so it only ran, like, for another few months, like, after this came out, and then Bordello of Blood, the movie, came out, I think, like, 18 months after this, and didn't do very well at all, and a lot of people, I kind of like that movie, but this one's better. Bordello of Blood... I saw it again recently, and I think Shudder just added it, because Shudder just added this one as well. Bordello of Blood suffers, I think, from having Dennis Miller in it. I mean, Dennis Miller, his shtick in, you know, like, in the late 80s and early 90s was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But when you see it now, it just didn't age well. It's really, really, really annoying.
Yeah.
And it's not too bad.
Constantly breaking the mood.
Yeah, it's not too bad in Bordello of Blood. He did kind of tone it down a little bit, but it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, back in the day, I kind of thought he was funny, but
I was like that with Bill Murray. Some of Bill Murray's movies just couldn't stand that fucking snarky bullshit. He was great in fucking Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters series. I liked that, but some of that shit he was terrible. Although his recent shit was really good. Remember that he was in that zombie movie with fucking... dude who played fucking Darth fucking... Adam Driver. What's the name of that movie? The zombie movie. Recent.
The Dead Don't Die.
The Dead... How do you remember these damn titles from these obscure damn movies? Dead Don't Die. Murray was good in that.
I remember lots of things.
Yeah, Murray was good in that.
Well, you should have seen... Well, he was in the first Zombieland, too, and he's fucking great in that.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a glorified... cameo.
Yeah.
But what a fucking cameo it was, I have to say. But yeah, so the nice thing about this one, about Demon Knight, is that it just has a really, really solid cast of character actors. They all look like they're having a blast. You know, nobody phoned it in. Nobody is like, oh, what the fuck am I doing in this Tales from the Crypt movie? They really went whole hog with the special effects, with the demon makeup. Although, you know what? When they were first, like, talking about this, Universal Pictures was like, well, maybe we should do two versions in case we can't afford to do all the demon makeup. So they did another version. They didn't shoot it, but they had another version, like, on the back burner that it was still going to be kind of demons, but they weren't going to look like demons. They were actually going to look like... Billy Zane was going to be like a Bible salesman, and all the demons were just going to look like Men in Black, essentially. Like, they were just going to look like guys with sunglasses and black suits on. So they had that on the back burner. They said, well, it's just in case we can't afford to do the over-the-top demon makeup. But I guess they decided, thankfully, that they were going to go the whole hog demon route, and I'm really glad they did, because the demons in this look pretty great. Have to say, too, that the long-haired Hansen kid... who, you know, who caught Breaker, like, trying to bust into a car at the beginning. I love, too, that this movie also kills that fucking kid off. And the kid's not annoying, you know, like kids in movies tend to be. He wasn't even in it that much. He was just in it at the beginning a little bit, and then, like, they find him again at the end. Like, his parents got turned into demons. And then he gets turned into a demon, and then he basically gets thrown out a window and explodes. Like, the kid explodes. Because they, like, shoot him with the thing. And then his, like, little Converse or whatever, like, falls down on the ground. And I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
I love when they blow up kids in movies. Also, soundtrack for this. Not too bad. This had a lot of... I mean, it's very 90s. This even opens with that song, Hey Man, Nice Shot, that Filter song, which was kind of all the rage in the mid-90s. And this had... who else was on this? Ministry, Pantera... Megadeth.
Yeah,
a lot of the music isn't actually in the movie, except like on the end credits and stuff. But the soundtrack, I think, did pretty okay. And honestly, I just saw a thing on a website that's selling, I guess it's a reissue of this soundtrack. And it's on clear vinyl with, like, green swirls all in it. It's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Because like I can...
The energy.
Yeah, I could see how, like, some people that were really into 90s, like, industrial and stuff like that would kind of want this. Because, you know, in metal and stuff. Because there's a lot of, like, pretty decent shit on there. I think Rollins Band was on there, too, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, so, I mean, if you are at all a fan of Tales from the Crypt, the original HBO show... I can't see that you wouldn't like this. It's not exactly the same story formula, but they did something that was similar enough to the show, but also different enough, you know, that they're like, oh, it's like a movie experience, but it still has all the stuff that you love about the show. And it's just kind of a shame that they didn't... Like I said, I feel like they waited too long to do it. They should have started making movies when the Tales from the Crypt show was still in the middle of its run. They shouldn't have waited until it was, like, had already been going for 6 or 7 seasons, and, oh, and now we're going to make a movie. Because I kind of feel like maybe the interest had waned some. You know, but you could totally reboot this nowadays, and I think they probably should. They don't have to remake this movie, but I like the idea of doing, like, an anthology-type movie that's based on, like, Tales from the Crypt. They could even, like, base the shit on some of the original, like, EC stories, like from the comics. That would be really cool. Like, you could modernize them and update them. I would totally watch it.
Yep.
Get on that shit, Shudder or Netflix or whoever.
Well, I just have to agree. I think it's a classic movie. Has a real classic 80s/90s style. American horror comedy. You know, in the vein of Evil Dead. You know, like that.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's tight. Music was good, you know, the score was good, special effects great, acting was good, just had a real good tone, real good energy behind the movie, and aged very well. So you could watch it today, you'd have a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great time rewatching this, and as I said, like, Billy Zane, everybody's great in this, but Billy Zane is absolutely fantastic.
Very entertaining.
So, so entertaining.
The visuals are very artistic, high quality, it's a high-end movie.
And, like I said, a kid explodes.
Even though low budget, it's still high-end.
So,
Yeah.
You can't beat that. Mm. And lots of boobies.
Yeah, yeah. Goes without saying.
How can you go wrong?
Yeah.
You can't. So yeah, if you have Shudder, Shudder just added this. I believe they also added Bordello Blood. They also added some other anthology stuff like Tales from the Hood and Tales from the Hood 2. Like they usually add like groups of similar type of things. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna add like all the Universal Monster movies. We're gonna add like a bunch of horror anthologies. We're gonna do this. So I think that's really cool. So this one was added along with several other ones of a similar nature. So if you have Shudder, you should absolutely go watch it. I'm sure you can find it on other streaming services as well. But yeah, if you have seen it, let us know what you think about it in the comments. And that will do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.